Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
Hello.
That was horrifying. And that is Philly sports for you. All right, we've reached our destination for the day. We'd like to thank you guys for listening. We got a lot going on this week. Not really. The Flyers put out their protected list. The expansion draft's happening in the NHL, so we'll get into that a little bit. Just see how the roster really could shape up. They made a trade as well for Ryan Ellis. We'll talk about how he fits into the team, and again, what the team will look like depending on who gets taken. We have a good idea. It could be either James Van Riemsdyk, could be Jake Voracek, who had success under Dave Hackstall, who's Seattle's new coach, but we'll really get into that. The Eagles apparently have another anonymous source, Chip. Did you hear that?
Of course they do.
How many anonymous sources? And it's not just like anonymous source says there's an injury, or anonymous source says they're looking into signing someone. It's anonymous source says something extremely devastating that could really ruin an entire locker room just because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
your lies.
We'll talk about that. I believe that was on WIP, but I'm not exactly sure. Man, it just never ends, does it?
No, never.
Did we forgive the Sixers yet? No.
Yeah.
And finally, the Phillies, who've been pretty all right.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I didn't see that coming for the most part, because the Phillies have a tendency to, what's the word I'm looking for? Suck?
Utterly break your heart?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to be buyers at the trade deadline, which is coming up, and they should be sellers. They should be selling the whole team, and I mean that. People are going to crap on me for it, but there are no prospects in the Phillies organization that have real value.
Yeah, we'll see.
There was one Phillies player in the Futures game because there had to be representation. Bryson Stott, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to be buyers just because of the recently of the play. They played well. So it's going to be interesting. There's a few guys out there that they – or have supposedly have interest in, so we'll see what happens. But every time I get my hopes up when they're buyers, and you know, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll get this guy, maybe they'll get this guy, and then they just get like a schmuck and then some other fill, and then that's it, and then they break my heart again, and then they're gonna, you know, then they stink for the rest of the season. So
yeah, they'll acquire some okay middle relief pitcher, and then he'll end up having the worst year of his career.
Yeah.
Which usually happens.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what Dave Dombrowski does. But all signs point to them being buyers.
Well, moving on from that, our misery and pain is brought to you by Manscaped and the Performance Package 4.0. Yeah. The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in the summer. And you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like an Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code PHL. And, you know, if you're going to be out and about and you're fully vaxxed and you're not being a toolkit, you know, what's better? Just shaving down there, cleaning it up, get some air up there with the basketball shorts. There's a way to do it, which is Manscaped, and there's a way to hurt yourself. And I've told this story several times, so Chip, why don't you inform the people? You buy what?
You gotta buy Manscaped,
or you buy really crappy razors and cut yourself all up. And the worst thing about that is if you sweat at all, it burns even more than you could ever imagine. So don't do that. Get Manscaped and help yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, the world is starting to open, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. What will they find inside?
Well, first off, I want to say, like what you were saying, imagine you're using a crappy razor and it's hot. So do you want to have nicks and tugs down in, you know, the down under when it's hot? I don't think so. But inside this Performance Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their Weed Whacker ears and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Ball Toner, plus two free gifts, the Performance Boxer Briefs and the Shed Travel Bag. Talk about a world-class discount into a post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on and off switch, can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities, trust me. This package also comes with the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ears. This tool is a lock to take home the gold in the biathlon. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag.
Again, you get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code PHL at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. I got nothing left. What you say, Chippe?
Cue the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production,
enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Three, two, one. All right, let's get in the huddle and talk some birds.
Birds.
All right, so just a couple things to talk about. The thing that we're going to glance over and just say is they finally replaced the Wentz banner.
Yeah, they finally did that.
That took long enough.
Yeah, a few months.
Just about like, I don't know, 5 months too much.
Also, why are they making a big deal out of it?
Because the Philadelphia media drove the dude out of town.
That's a good point.
Speaking of anonymous sources that drive people out of town.
Yeah.
Apparently there was an anonymous source that said several people in the Eagles locker room, or was it a few? I don't know, but
I don't remember.
Apparently Nick Sirianni just doesn't have the locker room. Well, darn, I guess we're screwed. Our whole team that's definitely going to do well this year.
You know, you really believe a report when the source is anonymous. Also the players who said all that are also anonymous. You know, I really believe a report like that.
Yeah, like anonymous could definitely not just be Jeff up the street who said that.
Yeah, some schmuck who just wants attention.
Yeah, like I mean, it's tradition at this point.
And also, it makes it better when one of the leaders on this team, Lane Johnson, comes out and tweets and says you're absolutely wrong. So, you know.
Yeah, don't forget Fletcher Cox, who said on Twitter, well, I guess who's telling lies today? Well, guess who's telling lies today?
Yeah. It's something just along those lines. I don't know what it is with the Philadelphia media, but I don't get it. I mean, maybe it happens in other markets, but I mean, the amount of just anonymous crap that comes out about this team is just is mind blowing.
Mm. Oh, it's former NFL fullback Mike Robinson said that some Eagles players question Nick Sirianni and his ability to lead.
Right, because that guy would totally know. I've never even heard of that guy.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
Was he even on the Eagles?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, because that guy totally knows. Not even in the locker room.
When was the last time the Eagles used a fullback?
Leonard Weaver. I was at the game where he tore his ACL.
And that was that. And then Lane Johnson proceeded to say the names then. Enough of the BS. Right. Enough with the BS hiding. Hashtag right. Fake news.
Yeah. And then nothing. It's as if this person just disappeared.
I think that at this point, the Philly sports media has taken it upon themselves. No names, but like if you give credibility to a caller who just slanders a player, that's definitely not helping you at all. If you're going to give credibility to Mike Robinson, but he doesn't name any names, how can any of this be proven? I don't understand it. Why does this keep happening? It just seems like there's always something going on. It's not like a, oh, Nick Sirianni's starting to settle down and gain more traction in the locker room. That would be something I would expect. He is a new coach. He's younger. Maybe I would expect the younger guys, they might have more faith in him than like a Lane Johnson. But if Lane Johnson comes out and says, enough with the BS, come on. Who are we going to believe here?
Yeah, and, you know, from what I've seen, which isn't much, and what I've heard, you know, I mean, I don't know if, you know, some of the guys haven't even been to the Eagles complex yet with Nick Sirianni there. Like, they had OTAs, they had non-mandatory minicamp for the rookies and young guys, but training camp didn't start yet. It starts, I think, in, like, next week or the week after, something like that. So some of these guys may have not even, you know, been with Nick Sirianni. So to come out and say that he doesn't have the locker room, it's you're wrong. I mean, you know, Lane Johnson has been there this year, but some guys haven't. So you can't just say, oh, the entire team or some players just don't think that Sirianni's it or, you know, whatever he said. You're wrong. You know, it's going to take time for Nick Sirianni to get to know everyone and, you know, to kind of put his stamp on the team to start the season. I mean, first of all, you have to have everyone there, which that would help, you know, having a full team there, you know, actually going through training camp, going through preseason, and then, you know, obviously when the season starts. So, you know, let the guy do his thing. You know, from what I've, you know, the Eagles Twitter and Instagram put up a video of Nick Sirianni mic'd up. And from what I saw in those videos, he loves football. You can just tell that.
What I'm getting from it is that he's just really excited about football.
Yeah.
And if he's a guy who truly does love football and is that passionate about it, I think that he can guide them in the right direction. I don't think that he's going to be an absolute failure in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When you look at the Doug Peterson hire back when he was hired, I was like, I don't know. And it's the same thing here. I don't know, but I guess we're going with it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Doug Peterson was relatively an unknown. You know, he was probably more known than Nick Sirianni even was when he got hired. So, you know, I said it on this podcast. Nick Sirianni, I didn't even know who he was until we hired him. So I didn't even know who the offensive coordinator for the Colts was. I didn't know it was him. You know, I didn't even know his name was in the pile that the Eagles were looking at. But yeah, like I said, from those videos, you can just tell that he loves football. And the biggest difference, you know, from Doug Peterson to Nick Sirianni, and I'm not, you know, I'm not calling out Doug Peterson here, but you know, the biggest difference is Nick Sirianni goes to specific players and tell them what they did wrong or what they did right, and just shows them how to play their position. I mean, he was even talking to Devontae Smith, who won the freaking Heisman Trophy, and was showing him how to run routes. I'm like, and I was like, wow, this is all right. I mean, he's going to the Heisman Trophy winner who, you know, absolutely murdered it at the college level, and he showed him how to run routes. So, you know, that just shows me that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, Nick Sirianni is going to coach you and coach you the right way. And, you know, if you do something wrong, he'll let you know. If you do something right, he'll let you know. That's what I gathered from watching.
When you look at the rest of the coaching staff, too, it looks like he made educated decisions on who he picked up. And you look at a hire like Gannon, the Eagles weren't the only team looking into him.
Yeah, and it's like it's the same thing. Jonathan, like, they did a video on Gannon, too, and he was doing the exact same thing that Sirianni was. And same thing with Steichen, the offensive coordinator. They were both going to players and be like, all right, this is what you got to do. Do this, 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 and this. And if you did it right, they're like, you know, they were like, yo, nice job, man. And if they did it wrong, they're like, all right, this is what you did, and here's why it's wrong. And they show you. You know what I mean? So, you know, they may be young guys, but they know what they're talking about. And, you know, I, from what I've seen so far, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
I don't – The thing that frustrates me with that story is just the guy hasn't even coached a game yet.
Yeah.
In the middle of the season, if we just said, oh, he's Howie Roseman's dog, he'll do whatever Howie tells him to, he won't have any pushback himself.
Right.
Or, oh, he really blew the end of that game if he was calling plays and things like that. That's okay because that's deserved. But this is absurd.
Yeah.
The season hasn't even begun. Preseason doesn't even start for another 3 weeks. Am I wrong with that? They cut a game?
Yeah, well, until the Eagles play. The Hall of Fame game's in like 2 weeks, I think. But the Eagles don't play until, I think, 3 weeks, if not four. I don't know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, let the dude, and like I said, let the dude actually, you know, be with the full team. Because again, the full team hasn't been together yet with him there. So I don't know what it is about the media in this city. I don't know. It's just it's very negative a lot of the times, and it's very toxic.
Well, let's try not to be toxic. How do you think Jalen Hurts is going to be this year? Do you think that he'll show us anything special, or are we just kind of praying?
I really do not know. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's been saying, you know, all his teammates have been like, yeah, he's putting a lot of work. That's great, but we don't know what he really has. I mean, he showed some flashes last year, but then he showed us, you know, some not so great plays last year as well. So I don't know. I wish I could tell you the answer. I just don't know. I really don't.
You know what this means, Chip?
Sadness.
We just get to spend more misery and pain on the Eagles.
Yay.
It seems like there's an unlimited amount of misery and pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I believe you just read me this tweet earlier, but the Brandon Brooks playing 4,219 snaps and only allowing 4 sacks is absurd.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's a baller.
Now, if he didn't tear his Achilles every year, he'd be even better, but, you know, can't have nice things here, you know?
Yeah, we can't. All right, moving on. I guess we'll break the huddle there. But this is just a quick segment. Do we forgive the Sixers yet?
No.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, me either. Do you think that there's going to be a trade made right around draft time?
I don't know.
Okay. Did you also see the report that the Sixers are looking to sign Doug McDermott?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I don't care. He's all right. He's okay.
I both playing for Australia, killing it on defense, by the way.
Shout out to Team USA absolutely being terrible.
Yeah.
Didn't you notice? I watched, I believe it was a game against Nigeria for a little bit, and it looks like our players are going up for those fouls that get called in the NBA, and the refs aren't calling them, and they're like, what? It's like,
well, yeah. One, there are different rules, and two, they actually have competent refs for the Olympics.
Can we hire the FIBA refs and just replace everyone?
I wish.
There's been some really bad refereeing this year.
Yeah.
But the Flyers, they put out their protected list. The expansion draft is coming up relatively soon.
Wednesday.
My God.
Yeah.
That was quick.
Is the second expansion draft in 4 years?
The Golden Knights, I believe it was 4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
17, so yeah, 4 years. That's pretty nuts.
So let's go down the list of protected players. And after that, we'll talk about the trade that took place.
Yeah.
So protected is Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, Sean Couturier, Claude Giroux, Kevin Hayes, Travis Konechny, Scott Laughton, Oscar Lindblom, Carter Hart, Travis Sanheim, Ivan Provorov, and newcomer Ryan Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for that, we traded away Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers, and Nashville flipped Nolan Patrick to Vegas for Cody Glass.
Correct.
I mean, all in all, it's a win-win for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, it's definitely a win for Nolan Patrick.
It's a win for us, too. I really like Ryan Ellis. I think that really bolsters our defense. And, you know, we were forward plentiful. Nolan Patrick, as much as I wanted him to do well, his medical history is just a big question mark.
Yeah, it's a shame, you know, with the whole situation that, you know, went on with Patrick. But you're right. I mean, you know, the whole medical situation with him, we just don't know. You know, he missed all the season last year, right? And then he played this year, right?
Yeah.
I can't really remember because they played so poorly. I just want to, like, just block it out of my mind. But we just don't know. So, you know, it was time to move on from him. And, you know, same thing with Phil Myers. You know, not really with the injury history, but I think he's replaceable. I mean, you said that to me when the trade first happened. We were texting back and forth, and I did like Myers though. He's another young guy, but
again, like when it comes to devastating losses, he's not one.
Yeah. So I think the trade was a win for the Flyers. I really do. You know, getting a guy who we desperately, desperately needed.
And the moves might not even be over.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, there's been, you know, rumors about Tarasenko coming. Heavy, heavy rumors. We'll see. But this trade, I think, definitely was a win for the Flyers. And good move by Fletcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Flyers made that trade right before the trade freeze, before the expansion draft took place.
Yes.
So now the Flyers can only be in communication with the Seattle Kraken until Correct. The expansion draft is concluded, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So they could be in talks with something. They
yeah,
could say,
definitely could.
Hey, if you take Tarasenko, we might be able to give you something.
Yep.
A little something.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe, we'll give them something and then we tell them to choose, you know, a certain player instead of someone like JVR. But, you know, I'm sure those talks are going on at the moment, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of interesting takes online, especially as the draft is approaching. There was a couple of rosters that we were looking at before that people were putting out that barely had the Flyers with a little bit of cap room. But the teams were looking pretty solid. I still think that there's a couple moves that they can make. I don't know what the team's going to look like this year. I know it's going to drastically change. But after last year, we saw that something had to happen. After you get so far.
Yeah.
And then last year happens.
Yeah.
If you look at Claude Giroux, I personally think he's one of the most underappreciated Philly athletes of all time. If you want him to win something, you got to do it for him. If you want to win something for the fan base, I mean, good Lord, it's been since 1975.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think the moves are still coming, man. I think that's the first of possibly many. So it's going to be very interesting these next couple days, especially on Wednesday. It'll start off with who Seattle takes. You know, obviously you said in the beginning that all signs maybe point to JVR, maybe Voracek.
Well, the reason I speculate potentially Voracek is because Jake Voracek had his most successful offensive years working with Dave Hakstol. Right. If Dave Hakstol is able to make something out of Jake Voracek, whereas Alain Vigneault cannot, it might be in their benefit to take him. Or they might try to get both. If the Kraken can make a trade with the Flyers to get Voracek and JVR.
That is true.
For a guy, I mean, we're going to have to give up more to get Tarasenko. You know, I don't see how it's that. But see, if we lose both of them, it's tough. It's tough to construct those lines without them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you lose both, you're losing a lot of goals.
A JVR had a near career year this year. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
I mean, you got to replace those goals with something.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, a lot of these rosters that people are putting out have Jake Voracek gone. So whether that's via trade or whether that's via expansion draft, I mean, I hope it's via expansion draft. That would free up a lot of room.
Yeah, it's just it would free up a lot of room, and I just think, you know, we're so, like you said, we're so forward plentiful that I think he's expendable. So,
we have a lot of younger players coming up, like Wade Allison and Cam York. I mean, we have Morgan Frost, who was up and down. But yeah. I think this year he might actually find himself. He'll probably be on the fourth line, but I can't really say. If we keep we're protecting Ove Kubel, so that's great. I like him. I think he has a lot of potential. He didn't quite live up to as much as I wanted him to last year, but I think that he can really come out. Well, if we have Ivan Provorov matched with a guy like Ryan Ellis,
yeah,
that down year's gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because we saw how successful Provorov could be with an actual competent, you know, partner like Matt Niskanen. So, you know, we'll see what that happens. But, you know, you mentioned Ove Kubel. Were you surprised at all that they kept Ove Kubel instead of someone like JVR or Voracek?
What I think they were trying to do. When you look at JVR and Jake Voracek, both of those two players have very large cap hits against the Flyers.
Yeah.
So by protecting Kubel and putting up JVR and Voracek, they're saying, Seattle, choose your one. You get one of them.
Okay.
And they already know, like, okay, we don't want to – frankly, I don't think the Flyers wanted to lose anybody, but it's the expansion draft, you know.
Right.
Whichever one you get, you get. It is what it is. Okay. JVR's cap hit $7 million. Is Voracek's right around there?
Yeah, I think they're both pretty large contract hits.
I know Giroux's the highest, and then I believe it was Kevin Hayes, then James Van Riemsdyk, and then Jake Voracek.
Yeah, Kevin Hayes is a big one.
And again, we have to also have to look into who the Kraken might take. You brought up to me earlier that Carey Price wasn't protected.
Yep.
So, I mean, he has a large cap hit. Seattle has to watch how much money they're spending as well. So if they're going to take a guy like a Carey Price, they can't afford to take a Jake Voracek or a JVR.
Yeah. I mean, and if they do, then they got to, you know, they got to watch what they do the rest of the draft. Because, like you said, they only have a limited amount of money that they can take on. So they have to be wary on how much they, you know, how much the cap hits are going to be. And if they do take Carey Price, which they should, because it's Carey Price, come on. You know, they have to be wary. So that's another factor that might go into it. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting, though.
It's such a unique situation. I've always found expansion drafts to be fun. And I think the NHL does the expansion draft right, yes. Especially the new procedure starting with the Golden Knights.
Yep.
If you bring in a team and they suck for 15 years, they're going to flop.
Exactly.
A.K.A. the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yep.
So, like, if you're telling me that Atlanta had a team like the Vegas Golden Knights did pretty much as soon as they got into the league... there wouldn't have been fans in Atlanta. Crazy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they definitely learned their lesson, and they've done it the right way. So, you know, Seattle's going to be good, I think. I mean, there's a lot of good players that couldn't be protected. You know, they're not going to be able to take them all, but because, again, the money situation. But I think they're going to be the same thing as Vegas, man. Vegas was good right away, and I think the same thing's going to be with Seattle.
I mean, so what? The expansion draft is on Wednesday, and I think it's actually on ESPN, too.
It is, yeah.
Welcome back to hockey, ESPN.
Yeah, right.
Long time no see. Don't screw it up.
Well, they're not ready to go full-time ESPN. They gave them the second channel, though.
Look, as long as the game cast doesn't suck, I'm fine with it. But that's the part of me that's like, I don't know.
We'll see, though. But don't expect the moves to be done yet with the Flyers.
Yeah, and that's another reason that I'm really excited to see what happens Wednesday, to see if Chuck Fletcher really does have something else that he's waiting to pull the trigger on. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of things that could happen, but what will happen is the big question. And, I mean, I'm going to be tuning in on Wednesday.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited, man.
It's not like I got anything else to watch.
Yeah, it's true. It's like the first time in a long time where I'm actually excited about something in terms of hockey. Like the first time since, I guess, last year when the Flyers were in the playoffs, where I'm actually excited about something. Because this last year, man, it was brutal.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to be pissed no matter who gets taken is the thing. Like, yeah. I'll miss JVR, but am I going to be pissed about it?
Right.
No.
And, you know, I want to mention, if you look at the protected list from 2017 when Vegas was doing their expansion draft, you can just tell how much better we've gotten. I mean, there was guys, you know, you just got to look at the list on who we protected from Vegas. Because we were bad back then, man. you know, I know we didn't have a great year this year.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas took Pierre-Edouard Belmar, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, but we protected guys like Brandon Manning and, you know, who's not even in the NHL right now. So, I mean, you can just tell how much better we've gotten.
You can tell player-wise how much better we've gotten. But
right, exactly.
You can also tell how far we've gone back when you have a guy like Erik Gustafsson come in, absolutely blow, yeah. And then go to another team and succeed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me just hold back my frustrations until I...
There's been plenty of frustration on this podcast the last couple of weeks, so...
We had a week off.
We did.
Yeah, you know, my post-vacation depression is kicking in.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable.
I mean, the only good thing is sleeping in your own bed again when you get home.
That's true.
But the rest of it is kind of like, well... What YouTube show am I watching today? What sports are on?
And then back to work.
And what am I going to do on my lunch break during work? I cry.
Yeah.
Well, now we move on to the Phillies, who have surprisingly been all right. Let's walk it off, buddy.
They've been pretty decent, man. The last couple weeks now, ever since the calendar turned to July, they've been pretty solid. I think they're 10-4 in the month of July. So,
well, they started off July with that good series against the Padres, and kind of not looked back since.
Yeah, exactly. They've definitely just played a lot better, man. They really have.
Well, when you're looking at guys like Bryce Harper and Rhys Hoskins getting hot at the same time, that's what the Phillies need. And I think that the fact that Harper, Hoskins, and Real Muto have been streaky hitters all year long, they've never streaked
together.
Not naked, but streaked at the same exact time.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But they have to keep it up, though. So that's the biggest thing with this team.
A slump for Bryce Harper should be like 260, not 120 over his last 40 at-bats.
Right. But yeah, they played a lot better. Like you said, they took 2 out of 3 from San Diego to begin the month. They took 3 out of 4 from Chicago, the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Took 2 out of 3 from Boston, which was very surprising, in Boston, too. And then 3 out of 4 from Miami, so... They've played a lot better, man. They really have. And like you said, you know, those three guys starting to pick it up at the same time is you know, really what's doing it right now. And the bullpen's been better. They just have. Now, will that continue? Probably not. But that's another main reason why, you know, they're getting some wins.
Well, that's another thing we got to think about as well. And when we're looking at players, the Phillies unfortunately have players that aren't vaccinated. If Aaron Nola is out for an extended period of time, if he keeps running into people who had COVID, that could impact the Phillies later in the season. Alec Boehm, he's also out because of it, but Alec Boehm has also been terrible all year long.
Yeah.
So the starting pitching has really been the key to the Phillies winning so much lately. If they can keep that up, that's great. I mean, Matt Moore, he pitched 4.1 innings, but he didn't blow.
Right.
And that's the thing you can ask out of Matt Moore. Just, hey, man, just go out there and just don't blow, okay?
Yeah.
Just pitch.
Yeah, give me 4 or 5 innings of decent baseball.
I'll give you 4 runs, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But they're definitely going to be buyers at the deadline.
And who are they going to go after, though? What do they have to give up?
Well, that's just I don't know. Every time I get excited about the deadline and they're going to be, you know, quote unquote buyers, they always underestimate. Like they always, you know, what's the right word? They don't do enough, basically. So every time they're again, quote unquote buyers, they'll be like, oh, we can get this guy, we can get this guy. And then they get some schmuck and, you know, a middle reliever and they don't do anything. And it does nothing. So I'm really looking at Dave Dombrowski and be like, all right, we're playing better. We know what we need. Now go out and get it. We need another bullpen guy. We need another starter. And we need maybe another outfielder. And, you know, obviously the big one's Starling Marte because he's probably going to get traded from the Marlins because the contract talks have stopped, so he's probably going to get traded. And the Marlins are not doing anything this year. So that's probably the big one. Reliever-wise, you know, there have been talks of Craig Kimbrell from Chicago, who's selling, who already traded Jock Peterson. There's talks of Chris Bryant, which would be a huge, but I don't think it's going to happen.
They want too much.
Yeah. I mean, they're, and as they should, because it's Chris Bryant. There's been talks of Ian Kennedy from Texas, who's having a pretty good year.
Ian Kennedy's been one of those players that's just been solid but not great throughout his career.
Yeah, he was a decent starter, but then when he moved to the bullpen, he was definitely better. But yeah, he's been around a while. So those are a couple guys, but you know, I don't know. It's with the Phillies, like it's always the last guy you expect.
Now this is off topic, but with Ian Kennedy, wasn't he the guy who, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he throw at Zach Greinke?
Threw at Zach Greinke.
Remember that big brawl with Yasiel Puig, Zach Greinke, when the Dodgers were playing the Diamondbacks? It's a couple years back now.
I don't know.
I'm almost certain it was. Now, this is just random baseball knowledge, but I got to look this up now.
I'm Googling it. Ian Kennedy throws at Zach Greinke? I
think so. I'm almost certain. He was on the Diamondbacks at the time.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Dodgers Diamondbacks brawl erupts after Ian Kennedy drills Zach Greinke. That was in 2013, it looks like.
Oh, never mind. Not just a few years ago.
Yeah, that was.
That was like 7 years ago. Yeah.
7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good memory.
Many apologies for being old.
He was suspended 10 games for throwing at Zach Greinke. I guess he was a starter. I know he was a starter, and then he moved to the bullpen later in his career. But he's been around a long time.
So is Zach Greinke.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, so those are a couple options. Starter-wise, you know, again, I really don't know. You know, I'm sure Phillies have some guys on their radar, but I think we need another starter, like a back-end starter who can just be solid for us. We need another bullpen arm, maybe two, maybe a couple. And then maybe, like I said, maybe Starling Marte, or if we get really ballsy and trade for Chris Bryant, we can throw him in the outfield. But I don't know. I mean, the Cubs are going to want a lot for him, and we just don't have much to offer.
I mean, does Alec Bohm even have that much trade value?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he might. I mean, he's like 23, 24. You know, he showed promise last year, but he hasn't found it this year. But yeah, he definitely would probably be involved if we were to trade Chris Bryant, or trade for Chris Bryant. But I mean, we have some solid prospects. Nothing crazy.
Well, you also have to remember that, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they arguing whether the NL should have the DH again this offseason?
Yeah, they probably will. We'll see what happens. I don't really know, but if that were the case, then, you know, we could, I don't know. I mean, it would probably be a move that we wait for the offseason to do. But yeah, we'll see. Philly should be buyers though. So, you know, expect some moves to be made, I guess the next couple weeks. We have the Yankees for two, and then we have the Braves for four, I believe, and the Nationals for three. And then after that series, I think it's the deadline. So, you know, only a couple more series until deadline. And if we continue to perform well, then, you know, we'll definitely, you know, the Phillies definitely have to, you know, push the front office into making some moves if they do continue to perform.
Well, I think that about walks it off. But you know what time of the year it is again? Fantasy football.
It's fantasy football.
Fantasy football. Jeez.
Whoever invented fantasy football, I want to kiss you right in the mouth.
Huh.
No pause.
No, okay. No cap?
No cap, no pause.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kiss you right in the mouth.
Well, whoever you are, Just beware if you ever see Chip in public.
I hope you're a woman. But
listen, you already made the promise, so there ain't no hate on this podcast.
I'm Googling it. Who invented fantasy? Here we go. Oh, crap.
Who is it?
Bill Wickenbach. Fantasy football emerged in 1962 when Bill Wickenbach, then part owner of the Oakland Raiders, gathered with some friends in New York City in a hotel, and together they created the first fantasy football league, which was dubbed GOPPPL, the Greater Oakland Professional Pigskin Prognosticators League. Huh.
Well, the good news for you is I'm not sure if he's still alive.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's Bill Wickenbach. Why is it not coming up? Here we go. Oh, Wickenbach, sorry. Is he alive? What's the deal here? Come on, Google, don't fail me now.
You never know.
Is he dead or alive?
For your sake, I'm just going to say not alive.
I hope he's not alive. Let's see.
Wow, we are going into some dark territory today.
I mean, you can keep talking, but I'm just Googling stuff.
So who do you think is going to go first overall?
Christian McCaffrey.
You think so?
Yes.
Then what, Derrick Henry?
Well, his name was Wilfred Wickenbach. Bill was a nickname.
I think you're falling in love with Wilfred.
Well, he might be dead, so.
Yeah, there's a gravestone somewhere.
Unless he's not dead. He's super old.
You'd have to ask permission from his partner.
If he had one.
Mmm. Very true. But I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to drafting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, I just love fantasy baseball, fantasy football.
You okay?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it was a stroke of genius. I mean, it really was. And yeah, I'm excited, man. I already know in one of my leagues I have the 5th pick. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
My leagues are established, but the draft has not been set.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I just know what pick I have in one of them. But I don't know the date of the draft yet. The one we're in together, I still don't know what pick we're – well, we found out draft night, so.
Yeah, but look, we can't tell the ritual.
It's sacred.
It's sacred. It's a beautiful thing. It's sacred, and no. It's probably the best draft.
Just know that it's very peculiar, but it's the – best way to find out what you're picking.
Even if you get the last pick, you are still vying for whoever could get the first pick at that point.
Correct.
It's incredible. I hope that you and your group have something similar in place that is extremely idiotic, chaotic, and some of the most fun you'll ever have for 10 to 15 minutes.
Right. And then it's over, and then you start drafting.
I mean, every draft needs a sticker bitch, too. Don't forget that.
That is true.
If you're drafting in person and you don't have a board, buy a board and get a sticker bitch.
Get a sticker bitch.
If someone
you, well, for our draft, we do them. Yeah. But it's... Well, with our draft, usually it's the commish who's the sicker bitch. And then after, like, the first 10 rounds, he gets sick of it and then makes someone else do it. Because he's drinking beer and he just wants to do that.
Look, you can't – just a word of advice for people who are playing fantasy football.
Yeah.
If you're drinking while drafting, wait until after the 8th round to start slugging them, okay?
Yep.
Because if you have, like, 6 beers in the first 8 rounds, you're good. You're not drunk. You might have a light buzz going on, but you're still like, okay, that's a stupid move. Not doing it.
Yeah, you don't want to be picking, you know, Jake Elliott in the fourth round. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, just be smart. You know,
you don't want to be trading your third and fourth round picks to move up to the third round, like our commissioner did last year.
Yeah, I don't even remember what happened, but
one of the co-commissioners of one league. Yeah. But I'm actually going to be in four this year, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm in two as of now, but I'm looking to be in another one because I think three is the magic number for me. But yeah, we'll see. So.
And on that desolate road, I think we've reached our destination. No?
I mean, if you want it. If you want to, I don't care.
Yeah, we've reached our destination for the day.
I still haven't figured out if Bill Winkenbach died, by the way.
You're going to figure it out. He's got a big old kiss coming.
Bill Winkenbach. Oh, crap. Still alive. Here we go. Why is it not telling me? Like, I don't understand.
All right. On this note, we've reached our destination for the day. Thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to PHLSportsNation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. Go to the podcast tab. Go to the PHL Bandwagon. On there, you can find us on Anchor. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we're most likely available. If not, please reach out to us at PHLTheBandwagon@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about us and let us know where you want us to be heard. Follow us on Twitter at the PHL Bandwagon. We put out polls every single week. We also share our episodes. We appreciate the retweets and we appreciate the fan interaction. It means a lot to us, and we'll try to keep up with that as much as we possibly can. If you want to follow me, I'm at PHL Ryan Michaels. You want to follow Chip, it's at PHL Chip Tiernan. You can also find us on Facebook at the PHL Bandwagon. Find us on our Facebook page and share it from Philadelphia Sports Nation. We do have merch as well. If you go to the Weg Shop, from Wagner Entertainment, you can go to get all your TBW merchandise, from hoodies to t-shirts to tank tops, all the way up to hats and knit beanies. We want to thank you guys for listening. We'll see you at the next stop. It's fantasy season, boys.
Also, let me know if Bill Winkenbach is dead or alive, because I really can't figure it out.
Okay.
Like, Google is not doing it for me. And if you are dead, Bill, rest in peace.